Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast, or now known as Make Lemonade. So make sure you check out makelemonade.agency. That is the new rebrand for Niche Website Builders. But today, we have Tony Maritato, and we dive into Amazon Influencer Program. And after this episode, you're going to want... Well, you're going to sign up to Amazon Influencer Program after this episode, I'm telling you right now, because I'm going to after talking to Tony. And he dives into how he's making $2,500 a month just from simple, short, 1 to 3 minute videos of different products that he has at his work and around the house. And it's different to the Amazon Associates program. Amazon Associates, you're sending people to an affiliate link within your website, YouTube, whatever it is. The influencer program, you actually have a video on the product page. And if people watch that, you get a commission for that. And we dive into all the things surrounding the Amazon influencer program and how you can optimize your videos to rank on those product pages and make commissions. And we dive into his actual niche website and YouTube businesses too, which are doing really, really well. He also goes into how we use digital PR from Niche Website Builders or makelemonade.agency to help boost his directories, where he ended up getting 10,000 page views a month in the very first month of his brand new directory. So we dive into that as well. And just into general YouTube niche website things through the second half of the episode. But sit back and enjoy.
Are you ready to get serious about building a profitable brand online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online business. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. This podcast is brought to you by Make Lemonade. Whether you've launched your business yesterday or you're already a market leader, Make Lemonade will help you rule your world. Head over to makelemonade.agency/show for the latest offers on our services. Let's do this.
All right, welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast today. Tony Maritato, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, James?
I'm very good, thank you. So, this episode, I want to focus exclusively on the Amazon Influencer Program. Now, for the people listening who may not be too familiar with it, do you want to maybe just explain the Amazon Influencer Program to them, and then we'll dive into a little bit of your background and kind of how you got into that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, go ahead.
I'm sorry, did you say you want me
to? Yeah. No, I want you to... I'm just hosting. I'm here just to ask questions.
Yeah, no. So I'll tell you what, this is one of those programs. Like, I've been in like affiliate marketing and all of this stuff for 2 decades. And this is the first time in 20 years that I've seen something scale so fast and so easy. So for context, for people watching, the Amazon Influencer Program, specifically shoppable videos. Amazon is still toying with what they call the shoppable videos, whether they're video shorts or whatnot. But this is the first time I've done Amazon affiliate for like 15 years. This is the first time I scaled to $1,000 a month. Now I'm over $2,500 a month with less than 200 videos on the Amazon platform. So I'm happy to get as deep into the details as you want, but it really is one of those things that kind of popped on my radar. I'm sure probably like you, I saw a video on YouTube. I was like, oh, I didn't know I could do shoppable videos on Amazon. I already had an influencer account. I threw up 3 videos. I got approved. And all of a sudden, it like shot off like a rocket. I put 150 videos in about 2 months up. And I'm averaging $2,500 a month in commissions. For reference, I've been doing Amazon affiliate for 15 years, like I said. I still have never broken a $300 a month using Amazon affiliate. And in a month and a half to 2 months, I was already over 2,000 a month with the shoppable videos.
Wow. Okay. I like this. But let's start with your background then. So you're obviously in your office or work there now. What do you do as your day job? And this is, I guess, your Amazon stuff is kind of like your side hustle.
Yeah, like that's the best part. So I'm a physical therapist. I'm sitting in my physical therapy clinic. I blocked this day so that I could come on the interview with you. So there's no patients here, but literally like a patient just left and I've got another patient coming in this afternoon. What I do is I'm a full-time physical therapist. I treat patients. I own two practice locations. But I love affiliate marketing. I also love niche websites. I own a couple directory sites. I own a couple niche websites. I monetize with display ads. I've always monetized with Amazon affiliate. And so this Amazon shoppable video influencer program was something that I could literally take the equipment that I already have in my clinic, do videos, because I've been using this equipment for decades. I can do videos on the equipment I already own, explain to the user in real terms, like what I like, what I don't like. And we can talk about the different kinds of videos because it's not just sales videos. I do educational videos. I do comparison videos. But I haven't ever purchased anything new for the program. I just use the stuff that I already have. And I think it's a great resource for actual customers on the platform to see what does a physical therapist actually use in a physical therapy clinic on a day-to-day basis.
Gotcha. So your review mainly stuff within, I guess, your expertise. Are you going outside of that as well to other random things you might have around the house?
So I started with all the equipment in my clinic, or a lot of it. I have progressed onto some of the equipment in my garage, talking about lawnmowers, leaf blowers. And anybody who knows Amazon, you know that there's different tiers. You get a certain percentage commission. So for like home and garden stuff, it's a higher commission than I get for health and fitness. So some of my top performing videos are an electric lawnmower and an electric leaf blower that I have in my garage. But that being said, we're always looking for that perfect balance between, you know, what pays a higher commission, but what has enough sales velocity and traffic to make it worth making the video. Now, I'm happy to talk about how I make the videos. And I'm also happy to talk about one of the hacks that nobody is discussing. Like, look through all the Amazon influencer videos. Nobody talks about the fact that when you title your Amazon video, it actually ranks organically in Google search.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I realized early on was I was trying to think of, like, I'm a YouTuber also. So I have a YouTube channel. I have 30 plus thousand subscribers. I have a couple YouTube channels. But I was thinking YouTube, like, you make the thumbnail to catch the attention. You make the title to get the click. It's not like that necessarily with Amazon. The consumer is on the product page. The consumer is ready to buy the product. Worst thing I can do is just mess up the sale. But what I realized was if I understand keyword research and I understand Google traffic, when I title my video, I title it optimized for Google traffic, it will show up organically in Google. So I have some videos like TENS unit for back pain. So a TENS unit is an electric device that you put the pads on your back and it runs electric current through there. It's like an electric massage. I'm showing up organically in Google search. And of course, Amazon's domain authority is far greater than my website's domain authority. So if I want to try and capture some of that traffic, I do some of the classic best pickleball shoes for women, you know, best TENS device for back pain. That's what I'm naming my Amazon videos, and you're going to see them showing up organically in Google search.
Nice. Okay, so let's go down this a lot of this stuff, and then we'll come back to your, I guess, your YouTube and your business there. But when you're looking for products, are you looking at just search volume on Google, and that's kind of dictating what you're going to target with your videos?
So it depends on what I want to, kind of the goal I want to achieve. So in some cases, I'm just looking at sales velocity. I'm looking at how many of these products are selling. Is the commission rate, you know, high enough? And I'll make the choice based on those metrics. Those are Amazon metrics. I'll look at the ratings on Amazon and reviews and things like that. But sometimes if I want to grow traffic to my website, I'll look at the product. I'll look at Google keyword research. I'll look at search volumes. And if I have a product that is probably going to get 1,000 or 2,000 monthly search volume, even if I don't expect too many sales directly on Amazon, I'll target that. I'll record the shoppable video that gets uploaded to Amazon. I'll put that same video on my YouTube channel because there's no conflict there. Amazon will let you put the video wherever you want.
Okay.
I'll put that same video. Now, I use eZoic to place display ads on my website. So I'll put that same video on their Humix platform. Mm-hmm. So now I've got that same video in three places. I'll write an affiliate blog post for my website targeting that product, targeting the keyword research that I've had. And so I'm really trying to create kind of a digital asset here where I have multiple opportunities for income. I have the Amazon commissions. I have the traffic to my website. I have the Amazon affiliate link on my website. I've got monetization through YouTube. I've got monetization through Humix. I'm just trying to take one digital asset and turn it into as many cash flow opportunities as possible.
Dude, I love that. So how are you checking the sales velocity on Amazon? Can you check that on Amazon, or do you need a special software?
Well, so there are tools, there are paid tools that you can use out there that'll give you that information. One of the tricks that I picked up, and I don't even remember who did this on YouTube originally, but if you go to the product page, so like we have a lot of exercise equipment here. If I have a recumbent bike, I look at it on Amazon, I go to put one of them into my shopping cart, but then I change the quantity to 999. And then Amazon will give me a statement basically saying that only 427 are available. And then I'll come back and check it in 2 hours. And then I'll come back and check it the next day. And that's kind of how I get an idea. Now, they figure that out. So there are some products that limit you to only putting 4 in your shopping cart. So that strategy doesn't work for that. But yeah, there's multiple tools and plugins that you can use. I'm not an Amazon seller, so I don't have access to that stuff. But that's usually what I do, is I just throw up almost 1,000 into my cart, and then I see how many are selling hourly, daily, and go from there.
Nice. Okay, before we dive into the actual video filming, on the Amazon patient, how many videos do they usually display from the influencer program? And then does that dictate whether you're going to target, I guess, that product?
Yeah, I've been testing that out a lot. So typically, when you think of an Amazon product page, there's a couple opportunities for your video to show up. So first at the top, now, let me just say, not every product will allow you to place videos. The product manufacturer has to opt into the program and approve that they're going to have those videos on the sales page. But if they do, so you go to a product page, you see videos there, you know that you have a chance of getting on the carousel. At the very top, there is, you know, usually 6 pictures, and then there's some videos there. When you click on that to expand, you'll see videos on the side. That's one opportunity. And then down at the bottom, now on mobile, Amazon moved all of the videos, the shoppable videos, way down to the bottom. That was a recent change. But on desktop, it's still right below the product description. Usually, everybody will say there's 6 videos in the carousel. If those 6 spots are full, they don't go to 7, 8, 9 videos. Okay. But what I did was I said, well, let me do a little testing because I don't know, and I don't even know if Amazon has really publicly said how they make their decisions on what's showing and what's not. So I went to really competitive items. I'm not a photographer, but I've got a couple great high-quality lenses, sure microphone. I've got multiple devices. You know, I can never compete with the quality of video of the professional videographers put out. But I've had, like, my Blue Yeti mic video. It's made commission. So I know at some point it made its way into the carousel. I've done other, like, Crocs, the shoe. I've made videos for that. It gets ranked. It's on the carousel. About a week later, it disappears from the carousel. So one of the strategies that I've tried is I remove the video from Amazon, then re-upload the same exact video. It finds a new spot in the carousel. But then again, a week or two later, it gets dropped from the carousel. So I am experimenting with that. But those are the two main areas, is at the top of the product page and then at the bottom, video carousel. Now, Amazon, they've been talking about the Inspire, which is basically their version of Instagram. Mm. It's a social feed. You flip through, you see videos and still photos. So within the Amazon Influencer program, you can upload videos, you can upload stills, you can create shoppable lists. But Inspire, I think, is going to be probably the next big wave for creators to see revenue coming in, because now pretty much everybody with the Amazon app on their phone has access to Inspire. And the way you know if you have it is it's a little light bulb that's at the bottom center of your Amazon app on a cell phone.
Gotcha. Okay. So then do you know, or from your experience, what else influences your ranking then in the carousel? You mentioned optimizing the title essentially for a Google search term so it shows up in Google. But is there anything else that you do to help rank these videos, I guess, higher in the carousel?
So I've been experimenting like crazy. Going back to the six videos in the carousel, being in fitness, I found some fitness equipment that was pretty popular and had no videos showing. So that's an easy one where as long as the manufacturer approves it, I can show up in the carousel. Like I sell canes, walking sticks, yeah. Thousands of them. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of them. And there's no other therapist that have really put videos out there for it. So that's an easy one. You asked me a question and I totally lost track. Say that question again.
The one around ranking in the carousel. Like what else are you doing to rank?
So I've experimented. I put thumbnails up. I didn't put thumbnails up. I tried to optimize the titles in different ways. I've looked at the competitiveness of the target item. I have not found any rhyme or reason. Now, within the Amazon dashboard, they will give you some very, very basic analytics. They'll tell you how many views the videos had in the last 30 days. They'll tell you the view duration, so percentage of viewed for each of those videos. When you go to the video itself as the consumer, there is a thumbs up so you can see how many likes that particular video has. But as I go through and I look at small influencers with 20 videos, I look at big influencers with 10,000 plus videos, I've never really been able to consistently decipher how Amazon is determining what videos are going to stay in the carousel, what videos are going to get kicked out. Now, I've looked at YouTube analytics for decades. I'm well familiar with kind of the algorithm and at least what we understand about it. I can't see any of those patterns within what Amazon is doing just yet. But I think it's still such a new program. You know, I don't know if their main intention was simply to get as much video up as possible, as quickly as possible, because that's what they got. But no, I haven't seen any consistent like rhyme or reason to what stays in the carousel, what doesn't. I will say there are video carousels with more than one video from the same creator.
Okay.
So like I've got a couple products that have all six spots filled, and then I'll put a second video on and I'll get a second spot. So I'll have two of the six available spots with my videos.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, that's a nice thing, isn't it?
get double the exposure. I mean, there are people that just have the full carousel just to them because nobody else is putting videos up.
Oh man. Okay. I like this. I like this. This is getting my head turning. I'm like, okay, I don't think I need to sign up for this today and have a look. But I guess within the actual filming itself, actually, before we jump into the filming, actual attribution, is it like a last touch kind of thing where if they watch your video, but they watch a few others, maybe they watch yours first, so you get the attribution, or is it last touch with the last video? How does that work?
It's just what you said. If I'm the last video they watch, I get the, I get the cookie, right. I get the commission. But that being said, I mean, I bet your buying habits have changed. I know mine have changed. I remember early Amazon, you would fill a shopping cart and you'd try to cross the $25 threshold if you didn't have Prime and you bought all this stuff at once. Now you tend to go for single purchases. Like I might go to Amazon at 10 a.m., buy what I need, then come back at 6 p.m. and buy something else, and then go back the next. So I believe, and this is speculation, that people are going, especially when you look at the sale price of the item, like I'm focusing on $100 to $1,000 item. Mm-hmm. So a recumbent bike's going to be $600. You know, most people are just going to come. They're going to buy that recumbent bike. That's what they're there for. Maybe some accessories. I don't necessarily see the days, which I used to see with affiliate, where I'd get the click, I'd get the cookie, and then they'd buy 20 different items in the shopping cart. Now it's like one, two, maybe three items in a shopping cart. Yeah.
Do they have to watch a certain amount of the video for you to get the cookie?
So conventional wisdom is they have to watch 30 seconds of the video before you get the cookie. I have not seen that in print. I've looked at terms of service and I looked at other documents Amazon has put out. I know that they've made some changes to their documentation, to their policy. They're kind of still refining it. But if you go across the internet, everybody's going to basically say you need a 30-second view duration to secure the cookie. So nobody's going to make a video shorter than 30 seconds.
Okay.
Most of the videos that I'm putting out and others, they're anywhere from 1 to 3 minutes.
Okay. Nice and easy to pump out. So within the video then, obviously you, if you're doing say a YouTube style video on a product like this, you're doing like a review and you're running through features, benefits, how you use it, etc. And you mentioned how that's not the only videos you do for the Amazon Influencer Program. Do you want to run through the different types and maybe which ones you see more success with?
Yeah. So you have your classic review, which is I bought this product. I've been using this product. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is what can be improved. That's a staple. That's what most people are going to produce. But I think most people like me who are content creators, I don't want to be a salesperson. I want to provide valuable, useful content. My niche websites are all informative website content. That's what I want to deliver. So one of the kinds of videos I do is an educational video. So for example, I've got several videos on canes, walkers, crutches. This is how you use them. This is how you fit them, how you size them. This is how you use it on the stairs. Mm. All I really need is the product I use in the video to be available for sale on Amazon. I don't have to buy it on Amazon. It just has to be for sale on Amazon. The way the process works is the video, the product you use in the video is tagged, which connects it to that product listing on Amazon. You can tag multiple products. So like I've done comparison of three kinds of canes.
Okay.
Those videos don't seem to perform as well. They don't seem to get into the carousel as well, but they are available. Amazon will let you do that. I did a comparison video between a Gatorade water bottle and an Under Armour water bottle because we're summer and sports and all that stuff. It just hasn't really performed for me. But then I did three separate videos, each one about each individual water bottle, and they did great. I continue to receive commissions on those water bottles. So educational videos, comparison videos, classic review videos. Of course, you can do unboxing videos. One thing that I've noticed with unboxings is Amazon reviews every video, and we can talk about what you need to qualify for the influencer program. But I've had packaging where I was doing the unboxing, and I've had packaging where even if the label wasn't totally like legible, but it was visible in the video, Amazon rejects it because there's a chance that the viewer could see where I'm located.
Okay.
So I would have to go back and redo those videos without the packaging, without any visible labels, and the same exact video would get approved. So that was one of those things related to unboxings. But I think this gives us a real opportunity to just get super creative. You know, if you're an educator at heart like I am, that's all I want to do. I want to teach. I want to show you how to do things. I want to share creative ideas. And I think that comes across in the video as I'm not trying to sell you this product.
Mm.
I'm simply trying to educate you about the product. And I've got videos that are 10 and 15 minutes long on the platform, which is kind of unheard of, but they still have 50 and 60% view duration because these are people who, for example, have back pain. They want to buy a TENS unit. They don't know what a TENS unit is or how to use a TENS unit. They just heard about it. So they see my video on how to use a TENS unit for back pain, and they watch it just like they would on YouTube. So I do think we can take this whole program in new directions beyond just trying to sell product.
Interesting. Yeah, because I've got a few review videos on YouTube now. I could just upload those, couldn't I? And just maybe remove the parts I'm talking about, go down the description, blah, blah, kind of cut that bit out, but just have that. And that would be an Amazon influencer video for those products.
That's exactly how I started. Okay. So you have to get 3 videos approved initially. My first 3 videos, I just pulled them off of my YouTube channel. I knew, because I read the policy, that Amazon does not want any call to action. They don't want you to reference pricing. They don't want you to say subscribe or follow me here, any of that. So I took the 3 YouTube videos, I trimmed the ends where we say all the YouTube stuff, and I uploaded it straight to Amazon. Of the first 3, 2 were approved, 1 was denied. So I uploaded 2 more, 1 was denied, the 3rd one was approved. And then that's how I got my first 3 final approvals that then kind of put me in the queue, put me in the line for that channel to go live. And from a time frame perspective, now I had gotten approved for influencer back in 2001, I think. Then what happened was in 2002, June of 2002, I found out about shoppable videos. I started creating these videos, uploaded them, got my first 3 approved, but then it was still like a 6-week wait before I got, no, it was October that I got my 3 approved, 6-week wait, December, I was live.
Okay.
And so once I knew that I was live, I saw that first 22-cent, you know, commission in my account, then I just opened the floodgates and I went through my gym, through my house with my phone, just boom, boom, boom. I would do 10 and 15 videos a day, no editing, no thumbnail, no optimizing, no music, nothing. Just this is the product. This is what I think of it. This is how I use it. And just a steady stream of uploads to about 100, 150 in the first 2 months.
Wow. Okay. So that sounds a lot easier than an overproduction YouTube video where you kind of just phone, record one shot, upload, and just multiple a day. Is there like a cadence that you've found works best? Could you just do like a few a week, or is it better to kind of batch upload as many as you can in the beginning?
I try to always optimize to reduce friction, you know, so whatever is easiest for me. Now, going back through my history on YouTube, you know, there used to be talk about cadence, like you want to upload this many times a week, or you want to be consistent, or you want to do it at this time on these days. None of that applies to this platform because, you know, people, even though they call it an influencer platform, people aren't coming to see Tony's videos on Amazon. People are coming to buy the product they want, and then they happen to see these videos down at the bottom for more information. So I have not seen any rhyme or reason. I've tried consistency. I've also, you know, done it where maybe I take 3 weeks off to see if it changes my numbers at all, and then I upload 1 and then see what happens. We can always kind of play the YouTube algorithm a little bit where you upload a bunch and then you sit back a little bit and then you throw that next video and it blows up. I don't see any of that on the Amazon platform.
Okay.
So I tell everybody, like, reduce friction, make it as easy as possible. Even if I have a great video idea that has a little more kind of complicated edits, I'll record the simplest thing I can to get it up. And then when I'm ready, I'll do the more complicated video and then throw that up as well. But it just needs to get up there.
Gotcha. And you mentioned thumbnails a few times. Are you still doing thumbnails for those, or you're not bothering at all? It makes no difference.
I'm generally not bothering at all, but I do believe, and it's pure speculation again, like when I'm the consumer and I'm scrolling through products and I'm looking, I'll give you an example. My 4th grade son, he's obsessed with watching YouTube shorts about vending machines and that kind of stuff. He wants to start his business. So we bought a gumball machine. Mm-hmm. And so we were on Amazon, we scrolled down, we were looking. I do find that as a consumer, I want to see a thumbnail or a screenshot of a human in front of the product that they're going to be talking about. Now, what Amazon is doing that YouTube also went to was, as the consumer gets to the videos, if they pause, not even click, just pause over the video auto plays on mute. So I know for a while we were talking about YouTube, forget thumbnails, because when you're scrolling YouTube, YouTube will autoplay the video and you don't even see the thumbnail. It's kind of like that with Amazon. So basically what I've been saying is, if I have the time, I will make sure that me, the human, is in the video with the product, but I don't necessarily go out of my way to like over optimize a Canva with words and arrows and all the other stuff. But I'm not in real competitive niches. You know, if I was trying to sell like video cameras and microphones, and I would probably have to optimize my thumbnails for what I'm selling and promoting, there's hardly any competition. So no, I don't. I just want the videos up there.
Okay. So what would be, you mentioned video cameras, microphones as competitive niches. What are some other really competitive niches then in the influencer program?
Well, when you look, so you can look at like the ranking of the product. You can see, you know, for the category, subcategory, pretty much anything that's ranking in the top 10 or even top 100. Their carousels are full of videos. Other things that are really competitive, especially when you look at like success on TikTok, success on Instagram, anything related to home decor, anything related to fashion, like those people can take such amazing photos, do such amazing video. They all look like supermodels. I'm not going to step into that world. I'm going to stay with like the simple, plain Jane, boring stuff that people still need to buy. I'll give you a great example. So I've got like a 15-year-old laser printer. Mm-hmm. I did a video on how to change the drum. And this is a very like keyword, you know, Google optimized, but how to change the drum on a specific model of Brother printers. And I probably get 3 or 4 commissions a month on that. And I was changing the drum on my printer anyway. So I said, hey, I'm going to record myself changing the drum and go ahead and upload it. And everything is done straight from the phone. The video to the upload to the publish, all of it is done on the phone.
I like the that. It's such a low barrier to entry. Just thinking about this, like anyone can just jump in and do it. But the question is as well, for someone, so your background is physical therapy, and a lot of the products you review are in that space. You kind of leverage your expertise. But there's obviously products that you're reviewing that aren't in your space. So maybe there's people listening, maybe they don't have an expertise that they're leveraging and they may be reviewing products. How do you, I guess, make videos for those products versus the ones that you have expertise on?
I just make them. Like another really popular item for me is I would call it a spatula, but on Amazon, they call it like a food turner or something. So I'm in the kitchen. I love cooking. I cook every meal every single day. So I had 2 spatulas. I had one that had holes and one that didn't. And so I did a review of the 2 spatulas. I had a cast iron skillet. So these are 3 items in the same video right now. Cast iron skillet, the 2 different spatulas, a pound of ground beef. And I'm just holding the phone. I'm not in the video. I'm just holding it, narrating it. I like this spatula and I like this about it. And when I lift the beef, the fat drains through the holes, whereas this spatula, it doesn't have the same drainage capacity, but when I flip the meat, it holds more. A minute and a half, like a 80-second video, something in that range, 3 different items. I tag all 3 items. I upload it. I get commissions on a $12 spatula. I mean, it's a couple pennies. I'm not an expert. I'm not a food critic, and I'm not a chef.
Yeah.
But I'm a human who cooks food, and there's other humans who want to see what a normal person does. Nice. I think there's huge advantage to experience, and we know the new E from EEAT, the experience aspect of that. People don't always want professionals. They don't want experts. They just want to see normal Joes doing things that they do.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. But I guess within that, because you get approved with your first 3 videos, so you were on the camera. Can you have other people do the videos on your channel?
That's a tricky question. So I was originally under the impression that you are the influencer. It has to be you making the video. Yeah. Because, of course, the immediate go-to is I'm going to hire VAs. I'm going to outsource all the production. We have individuals we know on YouTube that are talking about that. And so I reached out to a couple people. And I said, how are you guys doing this? Plus, there's a huge influencer channel, over 10,000 videos uploaded, where almost every single video is a different influencer, but it's on the same, I'm going to call it a network. Mm-hmm. So apparently, Amazon changed the wording on who is actually required to do the video. That is no longer required to be the influencer themselves, that it can be other people doing the video in the program. But you know, I mean, people get kicked out of Amazon affiliate program all the time, the associate program. People used to email the links and they couldn't do that. They post them in private groups. You can't do that. It's such a lucrative program. I would still be a little concerned about getting other people outside of me to create the videos. Now, since it can be a faceless channel, like it can be faceless videos, I think the easiest solution is, if you do want to outsource, you outsource the video, you have the hands or whatever you're showing handling the product, but then you do the voiceover and maybe even you do just a little introduction. You know, so like, I don't own a remote lawnmower, but my neighbor does. My neighbor doesn't want to do a video on it, so I recorded the video of his lawnmower doing the stuff, and then I did a voiceover for the video explaining what's going on and the advantages and disadvantages. And I said clearly in the video, this is my neighbor's, you know, wireless lawnmower. I talked to him about it. This is what he said. But I do think that there are going to be some more big players that come into the space and just mass produce these kinds of videos. But I think just like we see on YouTube, like an overproduced, over-productized video is just not going to get the same attention as a real individual, a real human.
Yeah, that's true. And are you filming these in portrait or landscape? Are you filming like YouTube landscape or?
So I'm experimenting with both. When you look at the Inspire platform on Amazon, it's portrait. It's where Instagram used to be. But when you look on desktop and you look on, you know, the main product page, it's landscape. Okay. So I've been doing both. I've been experimenting with both. I haven't seen one perform any better or worse than the other. Both of them seem to do well.
Okay. But then obviously the portrait ones are harder to repurpose on your YouTube and website and things like that, right?
Absolutely. Unless you're doing YouTube shorts, yeah. TikTok, things like that. And so that is something that I've done. So one of the things that has been discussed a little bit is once you create your influencer account, once you're out there, you will start getting product companies reaching out to you, offering you free products, offering you small stipends, you know, $20, $30 to create a video. I'm pretty selective. I think most of us are pretty selective about what products we're going to discuss and endorse. But with something like that, so pickleball is huge. Everybody's talking about pickleball. I've got a pickleball YouTube channel. I've got a pickleball website. Oh. And that was one of those things where as the pickleball paddle companies were sending me product, I'd review them. I'd do landscape. I'd do portrait. And then I'd repurpose that across shorts, across long form, across multiple things. I would do product placement. So when I'm recording a video for my YouTube channel about shoulder pain playing pickleball, I'll have their paddle in my hand, and that's a sponsored video. So now it's kind of opened the door for new monetization strategies. Plus, we're working on a specific outbound outreach where there are companies that, you know, I specifically want to connect with. Now that I have my YouTube and my Amazon and other platforms, it's just one more little kind of arrow in the quill to be like, hey, I've got all this reach. I've got these people. I want to build a relationship with you, product company.
Dude, I love that. I love that. Let's dive into some of your niche websites and YouTube channels. It sounds like you've had success there too. But you mentioned you have a pickleball site in YouTube. Are you able to share, I guess, traffic numbers, maybe just some ballpark revenue numbers and how you're monetizing that? And then maybe a little bit, because I think you mentioned you have a physical therapy. Is that a niche website or is that your actual business website?
So it's the business website that's kind of a niche website.
Okay.
A little background. And some I have public, some I don't share. Okay. But just to give you guys a general idea, I purchased the pickleball website from, you know, one of the places where you could buy websites. That's kind of a funny story. I went on Doug's show. I talked about it. I was excited. I was like, I'm going to grow this to 100,000, you know, and sell it. And it crashed like 3 weeks later. Like completely all of my pages got de-indexed. I spent all of this money buying content. It was the first time I ever bought a site, first time I ever paid for content. And the site completely crumbled on me. And it's still just kind of dead in the water. So that it is what it is. But my business, Total Therapy Solutions, this is my physical therapy clinic. You know, I had created that website in 2003.
Oh, wow.
I used FrontPage from Microsoft. I had no idea what I was doing. I wasn't a web designer. And over like all of these years, never got any traffic, never did anything. It was a simple brochure website. But then around 2019, I was like, hey, these people are making real money. I've got a unique opportunity because I've got licensure. I'm a licensed physical therapist, licensed healthcare provider. So when we talk about establishing, you know, a site in your money or your life, I'm like, you can see me on the national registries. I've got the credentials behind me. Why am I not leveraging this to supplement the income I make in the clinic? And that's such a big thing for professional services in general. We're so busy doing the job and barely making enough money that we don't have time to really build the digital asset. So I made a promise to myself. I said, I'm going to go full bore. I learned keyword research. I learned how to build traffic to a site, how to optimize for Google. So like my clinic website gets about 30,000 page views a month, makes money through Amazon affiliate, through YouTube. It's got an associated YouTube channel. Like I said, around 30 plus thousand subscribers, makes about 1500 a month in YouTube revenue. Other things, you know, obviously it drives traffic in my clinic. I make sales for physical therapy services. But that is kind of one aspect. And then I said, well, how can I build on this? So I love teaching. I love teaching about products. I love teaching about therapy. So I started a second website, Learn Medicare Billing, where I'm focused on teaching other therapists how to start and grow their business. So that now monetized with eZoic. All of my sites are monetized with eZoic. You know, it does about 30,000 in page views a month, monetized with Amazon affiliate, has a YouTube channel that's producing $300 or $400 a month in revenue. But the main thing there is a digital course. And I shared this publicly also where, you know, my digital course does six figures a year. I teach 9 live 1 hour sessions a month. To business owners, to therapists. And so when everything went down in 2021 for the pandemic, 2020, like that is what really kept us going, you know? And so now my passion is sharing stuff like this, sharing the Amazon program, sharing my knowledge, so that other healthcare providers aren't so stressed out trying to depend on insurance reimbursement, trying to see more patients, trying to fill the schedule. And they could be like, look, it's 10 a.m. on a Wednesday morning. I can close my clinic and talk to James because I've got plenty of other ways to make money. I'm not freaking out because I don't have 100% productivity, you know? And then, of course, that led into lasting directory websites, where as we look at what's going on with AI, as we look at what's going on with search and is AI moving into search and, you know, the privacy issues that are coming up with display ads, I was like, I need another way to monetize. I brought back the world of directories. I connected to my niche sites, my business site. And now I've launched 2 directories in the past 2 years that on the day that I launched the site, completely new domains, never been registered before. I was hitting like 8,000 and 10,000 page views in the first month.
What?
And I was monetizing that site at like 1,000 to 2,000 from people that are business owners that wanted to buy listings on the website. So everything works together. It's just beautiful how it all comes together as you start to understand the different components.
Wait, walk me through some of this directory stuff because I'm not too familiar with the directory, I guess, landscape. So What's on the site that, or how did you even get that kind of traffic in the first month? So how are people finding it?
So I had spent time building an audience through Facebook. You know, I'm 48, so my world is on Facebook. I connected with a lot of other clinicians, physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists around the country. Answer a lot of questions. I started my own Facebook group. So like I've got a 7,000 member private group of clinicians. I've got a 11,000 member Facebook group of people who had knee replacements. So I've got multiple large communities on Facebook, and I go to them and I say, hey, therapists, you guys are all struggling because you can't compete with Yelp. You can't compete with, you know, the big websites with high domain ratings. Like a normal private practice physical therapist, their domain rating is like 2 or 1. They have nothing. They have a 5-page website. They have no content. They have no idea how to optimize. They have no idea what SEO is. And they're too busy in the clinic. So I said, hey, you can't afford Google ads. You can't afford Facebook ads. You don't show up in organic search. I'm going to create a directory. I'm going to build authority. I'm going to, you know, we did a digital PR campaign. I mean, we put the money in. I got the traffic. I'm building the authority. And now I can share the results across people who are buying business listings on my directory website. So I would say it's comparable to a Yelp or Yellow Pages or something like that. But the difference is it's very niche specific. It's specific to this little corner of healthcare, and I'm actively managing the directory. So I'm writing optimized content. I try to put up 2 or 3 articles a day. Of course, I'm using ChatGPT and other resources that are out there. I have some Google paid ads that are coming in where they're optimized. So my cost per click is going down the longer those ads are running. There's a lot that I can do that an individual can't do. And between the multiple sites, between the regular business website and the directory website, I've got a lot of cross-pollination. So when I find a keyword that does really well here, I can bring it over and do a separate article here. I can take 2 of the 10 search results on page 1 of Google instead of, you know, fighting for 1. There's a lot of that kind of working together that happens.
Oh, I love that. You've got so many different sources of revenue going. It's awesome. But on the YouTube side as well, how are you balancing? I mean, you've managed to get to 30,000 subscribers, which is nothing to laugh at. So how are you balancing, I guess, the content you're creating regarding, are you targeting keywords and to rank and search, or are you creating videos that are trying to get pushed onto the recommended browse features to get traffic? Or how are you balancing that act?
So just for everybody for context, I've got 3 primary channels. My knee replacement channel is a little over 30,000 subs. My Medicare billing channel is a little over 6,000 subs. And I've got a newer shoulder channel that's over 3,000. I do have the pickleball channel, but it's under 1,000, so I'm not mentioning that. Like anything, you know, typical YouTube, like in the beginning, if you have no audience, you have no reach, you're optimizing for search. So you understand keywords, you understand, you know, the description of the video, you embed the keywords in there. I really don't get traffic outside of YouTube to YouTube. But what I do is I do get traffic from YouTube to my Facebook group. So my Facebook groups and my courses grow and sell because of YouTube. Gotcha. I've been in YouTube since 2009. That was when I started my first channel. I had no success until 2019. So I don't want people to think it was quick or it was easy. But no, it really is. You know, I'm in the informational world. So I'm not entertaining anybody. People are actively seeking my information because they have a very specific problem. Back in the day, you would create a YouTube channel for physical therapy. Now it's very niche specific. My channel is just related to knee replacement.
Gotcha.
You know, and I answer all the questions from my Facebook group on YouTube. So I've got real language from real patients. I know what they're saying, how they're saying it, and I can speak their language in my YouTube videos. And YouTube just started this new thing where they're publishing like new metrics that I had never seen before. So I just saw my YouTube channel had shares of like 662, I guess, videos in the last 7 days. I've never seen a metric like that on their analytics page. So this is brand new, but I'm just answering the questions that people have, getting it on YouTube and letting the YouTube algorithm do its job.
Nice. So what's interesting is your channels are super niche. So that's like, instead of being like rehab or whatever in general, it's just knee replacements, just shoulders. Do you plan on just kind of building that out for all the different, I guess, common injury sites and have like really niche channels?
I do, because we know from, you know, the experts, I'm not the expert, that like if somebody comes to my channel, if they watch 2 and 3 or binge watch, which a lot of my viewers do, they binge watch videos, that gives positive information to the algorithm. But if I did a video on a knee and then I did a video on a shoulder, they're not going to want to see the shoulder because they're so focused on the knee. So that's why I did a separate channel for shoulder. And there's a lot of congruency. And so on, the way I look at it is on my website, people are typing things into Google. Google is sending those people to my website articles. On YouTube, people aren't searching as much on YouTube as YouTube is recommending.
Yeah.
So I look at YouTube as each channel has to be very condition specific. I look at my website as it can be all encompassing. My website has shoulder and hip and knee and ankle, and I can focus on keywords and all of that stuff. But YouTube, I keep very segmented in this channel is only knees and it's only knee replacements for knees, because, you know, there is no competition, but there is enough search volume on that topic.
So are you sending both that shoulder and knee YouTube channel, both of them back to your physical therapy site, like almost like leads for your business plus Amazon stuff and all that?
Exactly.
Oh, yes. That's nice. And you're getting, I guess, the perfect leads then for your business as well, if they're in the area. And if not, you've got them for ad revenue, Amazon revenue, whatever else.
Exactly. It's high intent. And, you know, even for me, like, the first couple years that YouTube channel started to take off, I never saw actual people in my clinic that saw my YouTube content. Now, I probably get 1 or 2 outreaches a week. Now, you know, when you think of like customer value, lifetime value, typically a recovery program for a total knee replacement, it's got a value of about $2,000. So if you look at that value, I'm getting 1 or 2 of those a week that either are coming to me here in my clinic. I've got people that are driving a couple hours to get here.
Nice.
But then the other aspect of that, in terms of building your authority, building your personal brand, you know, I can outreach now to orthopedic surgeons all around the country. I can offer them interviews. I've got the audience that I can bring to their YouTube channels, but that is a feeder into my directory. So when a therapist buys the listing on my directory for monthly recurring revenue, I can go out and interview these orthopedic surgeons who are seeing thousands of patients who need therapy every year. And now I can bring that audience in to feed the directory members. Like, again, everything ties into each other.
I really, really like that. Have you been able to, I guess, increase your prices, charge a bit more, just because almost like, we can call you a YouTube influencer, I guess, within the physical therapy space within that. So you've been able to leverage that as well?
Absolutely. So just like anything, you know, like if you think of hair salons and those business models, you have the entry level person, then the executive and higher. So if somebody wants to pay for time with me, they're certainly going to pay a higher price than if they're going to come in for just normal care that's covered by insurance. They're still going to get a great experience. But I can't sacrifice, you know, my time that might be worth $500, $600, $700 an hour for a $20 reimbursement from insurance. So, yeah, that as my notoriety, I guess, as my branding, my personal brand improves, my cost of time increases with that.
Yeah, that's something that I'm, I guess, not kind of struggling with in terms of eventually when I get back to, I guess, client work is, it gets to a point where, your time is worth so much, but it's not worth it for them to pay that much for that time. So there's a balance you're trying to get between that. You know, how much do you want to charge, but how much, you know, do you want your client to pay? Because at some point you go, well, it's not really worth it for you to pay me for these sessions because, you know, it's it's just so much money that you're not going to get that much value out of that session regardless.
So what's interesting about that, and what I love about that topic, is the idea that, you know, as a therapist, and there's about 250,000 licensed therapists in the country, I say it all the time, we lose money for every patient follow-up visit we deliver because the reimbursement is so low relative to the value that we can offer. But we enjoy it, right? We enjoy patient interactions. We enjoy treating patients. We do it for the passion as much as for the revenue. But what makes that a lot easier is if I've got six figures coming in from online digital assets, I can choose to lose money treating a patient because I want to treat that patient. Yeah. I don't have to be so dependent on charging $500 an hour because I can make that $500 somewhere else. And then bringing this full circle, so one of the things I started to do a couple of years ago that I think really helped my YouTube channel grow is I realized that when a patient comes to see me, the only person that gets value is the person in front of me because we're in these four walls. But if I can record that content and I can repurpose that content, I can show other patients across the world, patients that never have access to physical therapy care, or patients that aren't getting what they need. I can show them real interactions, real engagements. You can see what's really going to happen, or you can compare what I do to what your therapist is doing. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. I think that was an element that helped grow the YouTube channel. And so while I still protect patient privacy, I'm able to take information that I create once here in the clinic and repurpose it 1,000 times across YouTube and websites and everything else. So I think, you know, Gary Vee says, don't create content, like document, don't create. That's what I'm trying to do in here. And I think it resonates with the audience that sees my videos. The comments and the response is overwhelmingly positive with thank you, I've never seen that, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It's just, it's really rewarding. And then of course, having the digital income makes it easy to do those things because I don't feel guilty. I don't feel like I'm taking time away from, you know, other things that should be building wealth.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. Now, this has been a great chat, Tony. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this now looking to jump on the influencer program, but if people want to follow you, see what you're up to and everything like that, where can they do that?
Yeah, so you can check me out on Facebook or LinkedIn. My Facebook profile is under Anthony Maritato, but I go by Tony. You can also check out any of my YouTube channels. Just Google my name and you'll find plenty of ways to reach me.
Perfect. And we'll get those links down in the description anyway so people can find you as well. But thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
James, thank you so much for having me. And I want to seriously thank you. I told you before the interview, I've followed you. I've watched multiple interviews that you've done. I think you're doing a great job. The information you share helps so many people. Like, I wouldn't be where I am if you weren't sharing the information that you were sharing. So thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate the compliment on the podcast.
Absolutely.